chapter 15. And I will open us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for each person that's here. And I just pray, Lord, that as we study your word, that it helps us to know who you are better and know what you desire from us. I just pray, Lord, that you would just help us to leave all the distractions of this world behind and help us to be able to focus in on you and your word and what we need to know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, if you've been with us, we just started a new series last week called Dealing with People. And really the reason why I wanted to do this series is a topical series. Normally I preach through books of the Bible, but I wanted to do a topical series because one of the things that I've found in the past years is working with people and talking with people, I realized that a lot of people really need to be equipped with dealing with the people around them. And what better time to do this series than Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's coming up? Because guess what? You get to be around all those people that you love and adore and are friends with, and also all those people that might just get on your last nerve. And some of you, just even thinking about Thanksgiving this Thursday is already giving you some sense of anxiety because of the people that you might be hosting or the people that you might see. So what we're going to do is we're going to do you a favor today, and we're going to talk about dealing with critical people, okay? Critical people are people that have adverse or disapproving comments toward you. Okay? Everyone in this room has suffered criticism in some type of way. Maybe somebody's criticized your parenting. Maybe somebody's criticized your marriage, your job performance, your studies, your friendship, your ministry, your financial decisions, time management, art, music, you name it. People will criticize some of the things that you do. And the funny thing about criticism is, one, that it does hurt. And that's not that funny. It hurts. But the funny thing is that if 100 people praise you and encourage you and one person criticizes you, who do you focus in on? That one person. Why did they say that mean thing? Why did they say those critical words to me? And you'll forget about all the praise and encouragement that you've gotten from other people. You know, it just makes me think, just even this week, I had some critical things come towards me, and I don't want to share them as illustrations because I just don't want to do that, but they came towards me. But you know what? One thing that actually happened to me, I looked in my inbox on Facebook, and somebody just said something so nice, and I just replied to them, "That meant so much to me, and you don't even understand how it was just at the right time." So use your words that way. Use your words that way. So first things first, people will criticize you no matter what you do and who you are. And Aristotle said it this way: to avoid criticism, say nothing, do nothing, and be nothing. Okay? That's the only way that you'll avoid criticism. Say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. So we're all going to be criticized. Moses was actually criticized. You know that? He led God's people out of slavery, and they criticized him for it. Okay? Imagine that. You're in slavery, and some guy comes up and says, "Guess what? We're getting out of slavery." And I could only imagine that if you're a slave, that's probably one of the best things to hear. We're going out of slavery. Well, when they were out of slavery, they actually criticized Moses. "We had it better in slavery, Moses." They criticized Paul for being out preaching the gospel. Most of you know that he was thrown in jail for that very act of preaching the gospel. They actually criticized Jesus. He healed people on the Sabbath day. Jesus ate with sinners and tax collectors, so they criticized him for this. If you're a Christian, people will criticize you. If you're trying to do the work of the Lord, people will criticize you. So what I want to do is I want to look at four ways to respond when we are criticized. Four ways to respond when we are criticized. The first way is this: listen to the criticism. Now that might sound kind of basic, but when I mean listen, I mean take action on that criticism that has come your way. Somebody might be mean and ruthless and want to hurt you in their criticism, but here's what you need to do, and I need to do. We need to use our critics as our coaches. So listen to the criticism. Even if it comes from somebody who seems like they just want to hurt you, listen to see if there's any truth that you can learn about your life from it. Okay? The Bible says in Proverbs 15, verse 31, if you look there, it says this: "The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. So oftentimes we're prone not to listen to criticism because we feel like it's unfair. We feel like they're trying to be mean. We feel like they have no right criticizing in that way. But here's what I would suggest to you. Listen to that to see if there's any truth in that. Erwin McManus says it this way: don't let an arrow of criticism pierce your heart unless it passes through the filter of Scripture. So what he's saying now is, if somebody's criticizing you, maybe even if it's mean or whatever, if it has scriptural, biblical backup and truth to it, you need to listen to it. You need to listen to it, and you need to actually repent of your sin. Tell God you're sorry. Tell the people you're sorry. Turn away from that. But you know what? If the criticism isn't founded on biblical truth, then you can just step away and say, you know what? I've listened, but it has no merit in my life. Another thing we do is we play defense, don't we? What I would suggest is when you're listening to the criticism, don't try to just defend yourself. Many of us will hear criticism, it will come our way, and already we're thinking in our head, before that person even stopped talking, we're thinking, how am I going to defend myself? What I would suggest is admit your weaknesses, admit your failures. Do you know that actually diffuses criticism? If somebody comes up to you and you have a weakness and you have a failure and they're criticizing you, they're being mean, but there's truth to it, and you actually say, you know what, you're right, I'm sorry, seldomly will you find a person go like, that's right, I told you. They usually don't do that. They're usually like, okay, you know what, wow, I didn't expect that. I was thinking you were going to fight, you know what I mean? So normally, if we just say, you know what, you're actually right, then you might actually have an opportunity to say to them, I don't really appreciate the way you handled it, but you're actually right, and I am sorry for that. I shouldn't have done that. Another thing we do when we listen to criticism is we should invite criticism, constructive criticism, into our lives in order for us to do a better job. My wife will tell you, she hears the sermon twice, at least twice a Sunday, and every Sunday, I always ask her, she doesn't tell me, but I always ask her, what did you think about the sermon? And she'll tell me what she thought of it. If she found it to be helpful, if the people of the church would be helped by it. I value her criticism because I want to do a better job. She loves the Lord. She loves you guys. She loves the church. So she wants me to do a better job. So I look at that criticism as constructive, as helpful to me as a pastor. So sometimes in areas of life, we need to invite criticism in. Can you help me? Can you tell me what you thought was helpful? Or if I'm doing something that's not helpful to other people? See, sometimes people just want to point out that we're doing something wrong. They don't want to help us. But some people have ways of saying things that are mean, and they don't seem helpful, but there are things that we can gain from what they have to say. The second way that we respond to criticism is this. We answer their criticism. Sometimes people criticize because they don't have the whole story. You ever notice that? They criticize because they don't know the whole story. So we as Christians need to answer and fill in some gaps for them. You know, we could say things like, you must be mistaken because you don't know about this or that. Here's what Proverbs 15 says in verse 1. It says this: a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So when someone criticizes you and it's an unfair criticism, sometimes you need to answer that person and fill in the blanks for them. Oh, you thought I should have been doing this and spending time with you, but you know what? I was doing this and spending time with this person. Oh, okay, that makes sense. You know, I was criticizing you for not visiting with me or spending time with me, but you were visiting someone in the hospital. You were helping me. You were helping someone else. Okay. You were at work, whatever it might be. Sometimes you need to answer that criticism. So I would suggest this. Find good and appropriate ways to inform that person that they have missing information. They might come at you really rude, but find good and appropriate ways to give them a soft answer, to diffuse the fact that they're angry. Okay. Help them to understand why you said what you said or did what you did. Explain to them why maybe you made a mistake, if you made a mistake. And then, obviously, don't get into an argument with them. Proverbs 26, 4 through 5 talks about answering a fool according to their folly. Okay, when we answer a fool according to their folly, we make them wise in their own eyes. So maybe that person's criticism is very unfounded. So what you have to do is think, okay, how am I going to answer this? How am I going to fill in the blanks for them? How am I going to help them? Which leads us to our next response, is sometimes we just need to dismiss. Sometimes we need to dismiss criticism because it's invalid. Okay? Some people are very critical. They're overly critical. They're overly negative. They think they have the answer to the world's problems. It lies in them, and they're criticizing you. And their criticism has no merit in your life. Okay? Here's what Jesus did. Let's look at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 says this. It's on page 821 in the Church Bible. Matthew 15, what happened was Jesus made a statement about where defilement comes from, okay? Because what happened is the Pharisees were saying people were defiled by intaking food, basically. And here's what Jesus said. And he called the people to him and said to them, "Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person." We know that Jesus said, whatever's stored up in your heart will overflow out of your mouth. That's why people with vulgar language, people that gossip, people that lie, people that are mean to other people, it's stored up in their heart. And basically what you've done was whatever you've done in their life, you shook up what was in their heart, right? And it just spills out of their mouth. So Jesus said this. He's like, it's not what comes into a person. It's not eating food, sacrificed idols, anything like that. But it's actually what comes out that defiles a person. So Jesus said that. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" And here's how Jesus answered. "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." So here's what Jesus is saying. Dismiss it. Okay? These guys are blind. Okay? They're looking at things the wrong way, and they're blind. You need to dismiss that. Don't pay attention to what they're saying. You need to listen to me, is what Jesus is saying. See, but we need to really dismiss people when they're critical in order to hurt us. You might have somebody in your life that they just constantly say things that are hurtful, and they're not helpful to you at all. And sometimes you just need to dismiss it. You just need to say, you know what, I can't do this anymore. I can't be verbally abused by this individual anymore. They're just overly critical. We also have to consider the source of where it's coming from. Jesus looked and said, you know what? Those guys are Pharisees. They're blind guides. Think about it. In your life, you have to think about the people that criticize you. Okay. Where is this coming from? Who is the person? Do I really respect who they are and what they've done? Or do I have to just say, you know what? I have to dismiss this criticism. You know, you've heard it said before, maybe, if you receive a negative or an anonymous note, ignore it. Okay? If somebody is not willing to sign their name to something, don't even take heed to it. If you receive a negative or anonymous note. It reminds me of a pastor who walked into his office and he saw a note on the floor that somebody shoved underneath the door. He opened up the note and it simply said, "Fool." It said, "Fool." And he was upset. He was upset that somebody would write this. So the next morning, he got into the pulpit, and he said this, "I've gotten many notes without signatures before, but this is the first time I got one where someone forgot to write the note and just signed their name." I wouldn't necessarily handle it that way, but the point being is, this person was a fool who actually said this. The person was a fool who actually said this. An insult from a fool is actually a compliment, and a compliment from a fool can actually be an insult. Okay? So we have to look, where is this coming from? Where is this coming from? Somebody who's not even willing to man up and actually share their name? Because that would show us that they're not willing to help us, but their intention is to hurt us. So here's what's going to happen if you don't dismiss invalid criticism. One, if they wanted to hurt you, It worked, didn't it? If you don't dismiss it, you're letting it hurt you. The second is you'll spend time obsessing over it. Oh, what could I do to win that person over? You know those 100 people, remember them, that praised you? And that one person that criticized you? Now all of a sudden your focus is on winning them over. In their little weird mind, they have a power trip over you, don't they? Okay? And if you don't dismiss it, you're allowing that to continue. Okay? You'll spend time defending yourself, and you don't need to waste your time doing that. You'll spend time trying to win other overs to your defense. You ever do that? You got a couple of friends, family members. Well, this person said this. What do you think? I think that this is what I think. And then you try to win them over. And then all of a sudden, all your conversation becomes about this person and their criticism of you and you trying to justify yourself before them. And you don't need to. But most importantly, if you don't dismiss it, what it's going to do is you're going to lose your focus on bringing glory to Jesus. And that's why you're here. Okay? You're going to lose your focus on bringing glory to Jesus, which brings us to our last response, which is this. Remember. Okay? Remember who you are called to please. Okay? Here's what Galatians 1:10 says. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it to you. It says this. It's Paul. He says, "For I am now seeking the approval of man or of God?" It's a question. Then he says, "Or am I trying to please man? If I was still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Do you realize that you can't please everyone? You realize that? Some of you have been on this earth a long time, and you're like, you know what? Yeah, I can't please everyone. Some people are going to be pleased with my actions. Other people aren't. Some people are going to have higher standards. Other people are going to have lower standards. You can't please everyone, but I have good news for you. You can please someone, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He loves you that much that he was willing to say, "Here's my statutes, here's my commands. You seek after me, and I will be pleased with you." George O'Keefe said this, "I have already settled it for myself. Flattery and criticism go down the same drain, and I'm quite free." You know what she's saying? I'm not going to listen to the praise of people, and I'm not going to listen to the criticism. I'm going to look at the audience of one. I'm going to look at Jesus. Is he pleased with the way I act? Is he pleased with the things that I say? Is he pleased with the things that I do? Because you know what? We can get sidetracked when we listen to the praise of other people. We can get sidetracked when we listen to the criticism of other people. We have to live our lives for an audience of one. So now that we know how we should respond, obviously we need to do that. But what about those of us who might tend to be critical? Okay? Are you overly critical? Maybe you've sat here for the last 20 minutes and said, "I've heard better sermons on critical people than this one." Okay? Do you know what Matthew 7 says? Matthew 7 actually says, "Get the log out of your own eye so you can remove the speck from your brother or sister's eye." So here's what I want to do for you. So I want to give you some tips that we can all benefit from when the temptation of criticism arises. Because you know what? We all have to deal with critical people, but I'd be naive to think that some of us are kind of critical. Okay? We can be kind of critical on other people. And you know what? We're going to have many opportunities to be critical on people because we're going to see a lot of them over the next month or so. So what do you do? When you're tempted to criticize, the first thing you do is you pray for that person. A wise pastor said this when someone in his congregation pointed out several faults in him, his family, his preaching, just really berated this guy. And he actually said to the woman, he said, "If these things are true, would you please pray for me? If these things are true, would you please pray for me?" Imagine you were that person that was critical and went up to that man and he said that, he responded that way. You'd probably feel about this big, wouldn't you? Because the right thing to do would be to pray for that person. Okay? Do you know that you might have a valid point in your criticism, but because it's criticism, they might not hear it. They might not practice what we talked about first, listening. But do you know who can actually bring your valid point to their hearts and their minds? Jesus can. So you go to the throne. When you're tempted to criticize another human being, you go to Jesus. Say, "Jesus, I have a problem with this person. And I would almost guarantee when you start to do that, Jesus will show you the problem that you have. Jesus will show me the problem that I have when I go to him. See, prayer changes us. Not only changes the other people, but it changes us as well. So when the temptation to criticize arises, we need to pray for that person. Okay? Are you praying for the people that are going to be coming to your house on Thursday? Or the people that you're going to their house? Are you praying for them? You know, I don't want this topic to come up, Lord. I don't want this to happen, Lord. Lord, please help them not to be so dumb to say this, Lord. Okay? And, you know, these are probably going to be real prayers in your life. Okay. The second is this. Is my heart to help? It's a question. Is my heart to help? What is my motivation? When I'm going to criticize this individual, what's my motivation? Here's what Abe Lincoln said. He said, he has a right to criticize who has a heart to help. Okay? He has a right to criticize who has a heart to help. So if you're willing to roll up your sleeves and get right in there with that person and help them out of that situation, help them deal with that situation, help them be better with that situation, then you might have a right and earn the right in that person's life to criticize in a gentle, loving, respectful way. An easy way to judge your motives, if you have the heart to help, is the forum that you decide to criticize the person in. Okay? If it's not just you and that person, if it's before other people, then your heart probably wasn't to help. It was actually to hurt. Because you wanted to embarrass that person. You wanted to humiliate that person. And if you want to fight, you're probably going to get one. Because most people, when they're criticized before other people, they go right to defense. Because now I'm embarrassed. Now people see this. Now people know my flaws. It's not just one person, but now it's a group of people. So is my heart to help? That's what we have to ask ourselves. The next thing we ask ourselves, or realize, is realize that it doesn't work. Okay? Criticism doesn't work as well as words of encouragement do. You realize that? We've talked about this over the past weeks, the power of words. Ephesians 4:29 says, we should only speak things that are helpful to build other people up and benefit those who are hearing. So that means that if, for me, to use my words, what I have to do is I have to think, how does this build this individual up that I'm talking to, but how does it build up the people that are actually hearing what I'm saying? Charles Schwab said this, I have yet to find a man, however exalted his station, who did not do better work and put forth greater effort under the spirit of approval than under the spirit of criticism. Some of you spent a lot of your life with critical parents, and it didn't make you do any better. But others of you have been blessed with parents that are very encouraging, and it was such a blessing to you. If you're a parent, here's what I have to say. You need to spend some time encouraging your kids. It's so easy to forget. It's so easy to criticize. It's so easy to point out the wrongs all the time. But realize that doesn't work. It's not going to help them like encouraging words will. The next thing is a question as well, is, am I insecure in this area? Okay, I'm going to criticize somebody. Am I insecure in this area? Because here's what happens. When we're insecure in an area in our life, we want to point out people that are weaker so that other people notice their weakness. And all of a sudden, what you know as your weakness seems almost like a strength in comparison to that loser that you're criticizing. Okay. Emmett Fox said, criticism is an indirect form of self-boasting. So am I insecure in this area? Do you look and see somebody with something that you want, a car, a house, whatever, and look, I would never buy that. No way. I wouldn't waste my money on that. No, I wouldn't. Well, maybe you're insecure and you actually want that. So you're trying to make everybody else criticize that person like you. See, when we criticize another person, it doesn't say that much about the person. But it actually says something about our own need to be critical of that person. It's difficult things to hear sometimes, isn't it? Am I insecure in this area? Someone once said this, praise of something reveals what we value. Praise of something or someone reveals what we value, and criticism of something or someone reveals our insecurities. Then we move to the next tip. It's a question as well. What can I do in view of this situation? See, when you're a critic, you're probably sitting on the sidelines watching everybody else. And you're there just like, that's wrong. I don't like that. That's not the way I would do it. But all of a sudden, you're not really doing much at all but sitting around criticizing. Many of you heard of the great author C.S. Lewis. We quote him all the time. He's written a ton of books. Okay? And he says this, "The truth is not that we need the critics in order to enjoy the authors, but we need the authors in order to enjoy the critics." Okay? The critics have no job if nobody's writing books, right? They have no job. So what Lewis is saying, at least we're out there doing something, trying to help people enjoy literature in this case. So do something. Reminds me of a story I read about a young boy who complained to his father that most of the church hymns were boring to him. Far too behind the times, tiresome tunes, meaningless words. Okay? His father looked at him, he said, "Well, if you think you could write a better hymn, you go and do it." So the boy went in his room and he wrote his first hymn. It's called "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." The boy was the teenage Isaac Watts. In 1690, he was a teenager. He wrote that first hymn, later to write 350 hymns. Some of them you know. One of them we'll sing on Christmas, "Joy to the World." Okay? See, Watts' father was right. He said, "You know what? Don't sit here and criticize everything. Do something. Do something." And then in view of what's going to happen this week is we need to practice thankfulness. If you think to criticize another human, here's what you need to do. You need to start to think of why and how I am thankful for that person. Okay? You all have family coming over, you all have friends, you all have people that you see. And maybe your first temptation, or maybe you're going to fall to the temptation of criticizing that person. But here's what I would say. Practice thankfulness. What has that person meant in your life? How have they helped you? How have they blessed you? Are you thankful for them? Have they shed any blessings upon you? Okay. Practice thankfulness. "Lord, you know what? I'm pretty critical on this person, but I have to be thankful for them too as well because they've helped me in this and that area." And then finally, is as Christians, we need to apply the gospel. Okay. Any fool can criticize, condemn, and complain, but it takes character and self-control to be understanding and forgiving. That's what the gospel is, forgiving. See, Jesus came to this earth as the God who forgives, died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, to show us that he could pay and that he could offer forgiveness, rose again to prove that he was God, to show that he could actually do this. And the Bible's clear when it says, all who believe will have eternal life. See, when you go to criticize someone, think about that. Think about what Jesus did for you. Think about the individual that you're about to criticize. Jesus died for them too. Jesus loves them too. Why would we do that to another person that Jesus loves? See, because when we apply the gospel, we start to apply the things like mercy and grace and kindness and forgiveness and compassion. Those are all the things that Jesus had on me. So I have to say to myself, when I go to criticize someone, you know what? I fall short a lot. I make a lot of mistakes. There's a lot of things that I've done and do that people can criticize. Do I want them to treat me like that? No. Jesus didn't treat me like that. If we're going to be good Christians that impact the people around us, that deal with the people around us, rather than being their critics, we need to be an example of Christ to them. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful that you love us. Lord, and we're thankful that you're not critical of us and you are willing to die for us. And I just pray, Lord, for anyone here that is suffering at the hands of a critical person. I pray that you would just help them to deal with that criticism in the way that we discussed. Lord, I also pray for those of us who might be tempted to criticize other people. I pray, Lord, that we would apply the gospel, that we would do the things that we've learned, that this year, as we move into Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, Lord, that we would actually turn over a new leaf in our lives and not look to be critical all the time, but look to be examples of Jesus. Lord, I also pray a special prayer for anyone who hasn't trusted in you. They need you desperately, and we just pray, Lord, that they would see who you are and what you've done. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.